Such a good time back here, we thought he died and gone to heaven. You want him back next year? All right, fellas, you hear that? Yeah, we'll have to take up a collection to get them back. Now, let's welcome I don't know of anybody better fitted to follow in these shoes than Don Grooms of Gainesville and company, I think. Come on, Don.
You know, there were a lot more of them than there are of us, and they were a lot bigger, too. I think that's a beautiful addition to this festival, though. I love it. I thought those boys were just great.
Yeah, I just love that traditional Florida music, too. They're good people. Well, I never knew my daddy. He split when I was three. All I ever knew about him was he's a low-down SOB. Meanest man in North Carolina. Feared neither God nor man. Just a half-breed Cherokee. And he did not give a damn. Then one day I went to school and a little girl said to me, are you a nice nigger or a low-down Cherokee? So I went and asked my mama, said, tell me what I am. She said, I don't know what you are, boy, but your daddy, he did not give a damn. I went and asked my mama why my daddy didn't live there anymore. Said she couldn't take him no longer, and she shoved him out the door. He just kept right on a-going, fighting over this land. Just a half-breed Cherokee, and he did not give a damn. He took us to a place called Bakersville, North Carolina. Had a population of 45. Had a one-room schoolhouse with 7 grades and 1 teacher. And on Sunday, it was church. Wednesday night, it was prayer meeting. One night, my daddy came into one of those religious observances. He'd been drinking hard, as usual. Only place to sit in this building was on the end of a bench beside a lady. She took one whiff of my daddy, changed places with her husband. My daddy looked around at the, craned around the man, looked at the woman, and he says, what's the matter? You too good to sit beside a Cherokee Indian? Her husband pulled out his hunting knife and sliced my daddy open from the shoulder to the elbow. He just grinned, took the man's arm and twisted it up behind his back till the knife fell out. It's fairly normal. Then he turned the man's arm around 2 more times. All over the room, you could hear the man's bones popping. Well, then some gangsters got him in a New York City deal. They blew him clean to kingdom come, and he's planted in Potter's Field. So I don't make no apologies for anything I am. I'm a quarter breed Cherokee, and I do not give a damn. Actually, you know, we don't say words like that. We come from decent stock, and just sometimes, you know, you get a little, people harass you a little bit, and you want them to know where you come from. Actually, see, I was born and raised up there in the hills of North Carolina. There were 5 of us children, and my mother raised us My father did leave when I was 3 years old. She raised five kids. We had an income of $12.50 a month. So my oldest brother got the first clothes, and then they came down to Doc and Dave and to Billy and finally to me. And there wouldn't be much of them left, but my mother would wash them, patch them, and she'd say there's not much left of them, but they are ours. We didn't steal them, and nobody give them to us. So you wear them, and you walk proud. I have always tried to. She said, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. We can't pay for the things you want to buy. Wear your old faded jeans, they are patched but they are clean. Walk proud, my son, hold your head up high. We lived away back in the hills with the bears and the whippoorwills. The closest store was 35 miles away. Although I'm now a full-grown man, when I close my eyes I can hear the words my mother used to say. Use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. We can't pay for the things you want to buy. Wear your old faded jeans, they are patched but they are clean. Walk proud, my son, hold your head up high. Now I've got a son of my own, he's even got his own telephone. Seems like I buy him something every day. He's got everything money can buy, and it makes me want to cry, 'cause I know she'll never hear his mother say, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. We can't pay for the things you want to buy. Wear your old faded jeans, they are patched but they are clean. Walk proud, my son, and hold your head up high. Yeah, walk proud, my son, and hold your head up high. Many years ago, I was down the Dania Reservation, Seminole Nation, and I ran into just a beautiful human being, little alligator wrestler who says, I'm going to make it one day, and I'm going to help the Seminole people. A couple of months ago, he was elected chief of the Seminole Nation. And now, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to come out and talk to you. And he is still a good old guitar-picking folk. Would you welcome the chief of the Seminole Nation, Mr. James Billy.
Thank you, Don. I was just back there, my legs shaking, and my bowels felt like moving. My bladder was filled up. I don't know what the heck to do, so I came on out here stumbling around here. Ooh, scared to death. What should I say? I'm not quite used to this, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the bottom from my heart, or however you say it. It is my home, but you people sitting out there scared the devil out of me. Just so I don't talk too long, I guess, there was one song that I started off last night. It's about another tribe. And this man was a medicine man, from what I understand, and his name is Crazy Horse. And I think it was a Sioux or something of that nature. And whoever wrote the song about him, I used the words quite correctly from the histories I've heard about Crazy Horse, and I'd like to share it with you. If some of you people were here last night, you might have heard it. I hope I can make it on through.
There's a story I remember about a little Indian boy who had a bow and arrow for his own. He was strong as a beaver, he was swift as a deer. That was long ago, long ago. As this little boy grew up, he was nourished by the sun. The greatest warrior brave he was destined to become. He was one day to lead his people to a mighty victory that was long ago. Long ago. His name was Crazy Horse. His name was Crazy Horse. A hero to his people and to everyone who knows. History books have failed to tell the story of a real man. His name was Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse. This warrior is today remembered as a savage man. In the Indian way of thinking, he remains a mighty man. Remembering the days when they were many, they were great. That was long ago, long ago. His name was Crazy Horse. His name was Crazy Horse. A hero to his people and to everyone who knows. History books have failed to tell the story of a real man. His name was Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse. His name was Crazy Horse. His name was Crazy Horse. A hero to his people and to everyone who knows. History books have failed to tell the story of a real man. His name was Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse. Woo!
Lord have mercy.
I hope you were clapping because you liked the song, not wanting me to get off. I'd like to share with you, I am a Seminole Indian. I speak the Miccosukee language. And recently I became elected chief of the Seminole tribe, and which was an honor in my lifetime. I had my eyes on it since I was 12 years old. Thank you. And I had my eyes on it since I was 12 years old. And I think I knew how to say to you, I pledge allegiance or something when they started out the meetings that we organized in 1957, became federally organized. So we do live on federal Indian reservation. Our tribal membership is a little less than 1,400. I grew up in the old Indian way. I'm part Irish, Seminole. And don't ask me which part of me is Irish now. I'm proud of both of them.
Indians are all right.
Oh, yeah, Irish are too. And, but there is, to make the story short, I'd like to share with you some of our cultures and folklore. And last night I told you about the possum. Tonight I'd like to tell you about the crow. How the crow, you ever see one flying through the sky sometimes, and once in a while you hear him go, oh, oh. And you wonder, well, I wonder what's he doing, you know. And the way he became a crow and also started making that sound is that, many, many years ago, when the Indians lived out in the woods, there was no Caucasians around. And an Indian warrior or an Indian brave, however you want to say it, I should say an Indian man was out in the woods one day, and he's been out there for many years, and he came into an Indian camp, and he's been alone. He's probably up in his marrying years. And he ran into, when he came into the camp, when they invited him to eat, came to the table, and he had his eye on this one lady that was there. She was fair, beautiful, long hair. And he just wanted to marry that woman, so he had to figure out ways to see if he can get introduced to her. You know how we guys do. But it's an Indian style. One thing led to another, and that woman became his bride. He was so proud of that woman because he's been alone all these years, and he finally got himself a woman. But there was one thing wrong with it. He liked her so much or loved her so much that he didn't want her to do anything. Didn't even want her to wash clothes or make buckskin or stitch anything. All he wanted her is for her to sit right there on the stool or whatever it was in those days, keep herself beautiful for his eye. One day a hunter went out. He went out and killed a deer, brought it back. And the woman said, I'd like to help you prepare that. I'll skin the deer, cut the meat, take the intestines, and fix it up to your taste. The man said, no, you said right there, I would prepare for you. I want you to stay only beautiful for me. So he went ahead and prepared the food and cut up the deer and the hide, took the hide off of me, and then prepared the meat. And he gathered the wood and started to burn that thing and got the wood going pretty good. And he was going to cook it so they could eat. Long about that time, an errand boy came into the camp where they were, and he said, "There's a problem at another camp. We would like for you to help us." So he said, "All right." So he turned around and told his woman, "Don't you touch anything. You sit right there. Keep yourself clean for me." So he took off into the woods to the other camp. In the meantime, the woman wanted to show her love for her man. So she disobeyed him. She went over there and started preparing the food as she was taught when she was a little girl. Made it into some type of barbecue or whatever you call it, cooked the meat over the fire. And as she almost prepared the food, the man come running back to finish cooking, as he thought. But he noticed that the food was already prepared and she was over the fire. He got very angry and he said, "How come you're doing this? I told you to leave this thing alone. I wanted you to sit there and be beautiful for me and don't ever get dirty." And at that point, she got very disgusted, started pouting, started walking back. And she walked back. She said, Her body started turning into feathers and she flew away. That's why the crow goes back from this day going, I'm going to do one more song and really make a fool of myself. Okay, this one here, I met a gentleman about 10 years ago. And I think all of you know him, probably love him. And his name is Will McLean. I hope I said that right. But this gentleman, of all the songs I've heard different artists throughout the United States and through my short period of life on this earth, he had the songs that I really liked. And it was only because, like Tate's Hell, Wild Hog, or I don't know what else he's got, Seminole. It's because part of my living before I became chief of the tribe is alligator wrestling, handling snakes, and I've been bitten by both of them. I don't know how many other animals have taken a chunk out of me. And this one song really hit home because I remember one time I got bit by a snake, and you know, some of you people wrote, I don't know who wrote it. It says, "Stay calm and cool, you know. When a snake bites you, if you get excited, the blood flows too fast." I don't give a darn what the heck that book says. My heart starts kicking all over the place. But Tate's Hell really hits home on it, and I hope I can go through it right, because same old story, I goof up on my words. I hope I can do this justice for Will. "Oh, listen, good people, a story I'll tell of a great swamp in Florida, a place called Tate's Hell. 140 watery square miles where millions of skeeters and big yellow flies, where all about the moccasins lie with glittering death in their beady eye, where bull gators bellow and panthers squall. Now this is a place to be shunned by all." Old Tate left Sumatra along about dark. He had his two big dogs, a puppy named Spark, and an old long tom shotgun, a sharp Barlow knife. That panther would sure have a date of his life. A little past moon down, the dog struck a scent through bramble and tie-tie. A running Tate went for hours and hours until it was dawn. Then Tate knew that he was a long ways from home. He blowed through his gun barrel. The dogs did not hear. The panther had killed them. And now Tate felt fear. The sun was not shining. The mist, it was thick. Oh, Lordy, Tate hollered, "I'm lost up the creek." He leaned back to rest. His eyes did not see. The big rattler struck him above the bent knee. The lick was so hard that a sprawling he fell. This was the beginning of poor old Tate's Hell. He opened his Barlow and grabbed him some moss. A cut he made one way, another across. He wrapped his leg tightly and tied it with string. Then sickness came on him. His body turned green.
When Tate was discovered, these words he'd tell. My name is old Tate, boys, I've just been in hell. These few spoken words was the last that he said. His spirit, it left him. Oh, Tate, he was dead. No man can dispute this legend of yore, how Tate lived a full week and then 5 days more, and crawled out close to Carabel in that deep, ghostly swamp that we all know as Tate's Hell.
Woo!
Thank you. I think I had enough of them getting off. Thank you.
Mr. James Billy, the chief of the Seminole Nation. I don't know if you people know how truly lucky you are, because Jim Billy doesn't much pick his guitar and sing in front of huge crowds like this. He's much better in smoke-filled back rooms. Among the Cherokee, it is a well-known fact that everything in nature is round. Hurricanes, the wind in its greatest power whirls. Everything in nature, the sun is round, the moon is round. We are even told that the stars are round. But somewhere along the line, things change. The earth is round, as is the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky. Mountains peak and eagles beak, the bonds between you and I. The red men lived in circles, teepees were always round, and the sacred hoop of the nation was the center of the teepee town. But the white men came unwanted, like pollen in the air, and put all these round people in log houses that were square. And as their sun sank slowly, neath the round horizon there, they fought and died, but all in vain. There's no power in a square. The earth is round, as is the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky. A mountain's peak and eagle's beak, the bonds between you and I. That's a short little song. I don't know if you've thought about it, but in nature, everything is round. Okay, we're going to end up with a traditional old American folk song. I've got the Blue Ridge Mountain Blues, and I'll stand right here and say, my grip is packed for travel, and I'm scratching gravel for the Blue Ridge far away. When I was young and in my prime, I left my home in Carolina. Now all I do is cry and pine for the dear old folks I left behind. I got the Blue Ridge Mountain Blues, and I'll stand right here and say, my grip is packed for travel, and I'm scratching gravel for the Blue Ridge far away. I see two heads of snowy white, I see a window with a light, I seem to hear a voice recite, where is my wandering boy tonight? I got them Blue Ridge Mountain Blues, and I'll stand right here and say, my grip is packed for travel, and I'm scratching gravel for the Blue Ridge far away. Now I still miss my old dog Trey, I love to hear him when he bays. I want to hunt the possum where the dogwoods blossom in the Blue Ridge far away. I got them Blue Ridge Mountain Blues, and I'll stand right here and say, my grip is packed for travel, and I'm scratching gravel for the Blue Ridge far away. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Well, this land was made for you and me. Roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. And all around me, a voice was singing. It said, this land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, redwood forest, Gulf Stream waters, all this land was made for you and me.
Woody Guthrie wrote this song, stole it from the Carter family, but he always said, creativity is merely undiscovered plagiarism. Best verse in the song they wouldn't let him put on the record, said it was communistic. As I went walking, I saw a sign there. On that sign it said no trespassing. On the other side, there wasn't nothing, 'cause this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, redwood forest, Gulf Stream waters, oh, this land was made for you and me. As I roamed and I rambled, followed my footsteps, I saw above me, golden skyway, whatever, all around me, a voice was singing. It said, this land was made for you and me. All right. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, redwood forest, Gulf Stream waters, oh, this land was made for you and me. I said, this land was made for you and me.
Ah, don't ever forget, this land belongs to all of us. Just take care. Don't.